Hey, before we jump into today's message, I just want to make a big announcement for those of us here and that are at our other campuses. For those of you who are here the last couple of weeks, I don't know if you did it here last weekend or the weekend before that, but we ask everybody to give us all their cash so that we could send it to two organizations to help with refugees on the Iraqi border, many of whom are Christians, mostly old, mostly children because of what's happened over there with just the horror of ISIS. And all of us have felt like, what can I do? What can I do? And my goodness, were you guys generous. So we just basically did a cash offering. Some of you gave online for a couple of days. And together as a group of Atlanta churches, you gave $595,000. What about that? Yeah. And then some of our strategic partner churches heard about it and they gave, so there's even more coming in from that. And then some other friends of mine, I told them what we were doing. I told them about the Cradle Fund and about Samaritan's Purse and what they're doing, and they began to give. So your generosity has spread. And these are organizations that did not ask us for money. These were organizations we knew were doing a fantastic job. So we got a whole bunch of money, wrote two checks, blessed them, and they're going to bless some people that are in terrible, terrible situations. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your generosity. I always tell my friends who are pastors, I work at the most generous with the most generous people in the world. So we're so grateful for that. Once upon a time, there was a chair in our church that had your name on it. You didn't know we had a chair with your name on it, and the chair didn't know your name on it, but your name was on the chair, but you didn't attend here yet. In fact, for some of you, not all of you, but for some of you, before you began attending one of our churches, church was about the furthest thing from your mind. In fact, people would talk about church and you said, yeah, I used to do that, or I gave that up, or I walked away in high school and college. And then somebody invited you to one of our churches. In fact, before you came, they probably invited you about a half dozen times. They probably nagged you. They begged you. They promised you lunch. They promised that you'd meet somebody cute. They began to take your kids, and then they got your kids on their team. And finally, you relented and you said, okay, you know, I'll go to that church. And you drove into the parking lot and you immediately didn't like it because it was too big and it was too busy and it's a mega church, and you sort of had your mind made up and you had one foot on the brake and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to come up with five reasons I didn't enjoy this or didn't enjoy my experience. But you got here and it really wasn't your thing necessarily, but the people actually seemed excited about coming to church. That was maybe a first for you. The front rows filled up before the back rows. Maybe that was a new experience for you from the church that you grew up in. Yeah, a little Southern Baptist laughter there. Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopal after there, yeah. And you may have seen somebody you noticed that you knew, you know, and you sort of made eye contact, and they're like, well, what are you doing in here? And you knew that's what they were thinking. And then you got into the service, and you didn't love the music. It was a little loud. Everybody was singing, and one guy had a question during the songs. You're thinking, you know, guy's got a question. One lady had two questions. You know, that was a little bit weird, you know. You're looking around. But you got through that, and then you wondered how much this whole thing costs, and how do they pay for it? Then we took the offering, and that bucket came by, and there was like $5 and a piece of gum. And you thought, hey, it happening here, you know. And so you got through the whole thing, and you know, if you're a guy, you know, you're asking the same question I'm asking. You go to something like this. It's like, I wonder how long we're going to be here. And sure enough, somebody stood up and said, we're going to be here about 1 hour and 5 minutes. It's like they read my mind. I knew this place was a cult, you know. But then, you know, it was over and you went home, and it, you know, wasn't terrible, you know, and it was practical and didn't feel like anybody was beating you up or wanting something from you. And then you came back. Then you came back again, and the people seemed, again, happy, and then, you know, maybe you came with your husband or your wife or your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and then maybe you had kids, and so you brought your kids, and this was your big mistake, okay? You know that now. You brought your kids, okay? And remember that first time you took your kids back there to Wombaland or to Upstreet, and you got your child, you know, or kids by the hand, and you take them back there, and you hand your children off to a stranger, you know, and you're so nervous. Some of you weren't nervous. Some of you were like, could you keep them through both services? And you have an afternoon service. Can I pick them up after dinner? But for the most part, it's a little bit nerve-wracking. But the problem with bringing your kids to our church, you know what this is after the service, it's like, mommy, or daddy, you know, I want to come back to this church. And you thought, oh, no, there goes my Sundays, you know. There goes my Sunday afternoons. But you just kept coming. And then the strangest thing happened. This isn't for all of y'all, but for some of you, the strangest thing happened. You invited someone. And this was a total accident, because you know some of your friends and family heard that you were going to church now, and then your crazy uncle visited, or your crazy aunt, you know, and you started talking to them, and you found yourself talking about this church that you really liked, and you invited them to church, or maybe it was your Jewish brother-in-law, or your Catholic sister-in-law, or you know maybe that you know, have a cousin that's an agnostic, and they were staying with you for Christmas or whatever, and you invited them to church, and they said, "Sure, I'll come," and then you thought, "Oh no," and you remember what you thought the first time you brought somebody to church with you. Suddenly you experienced not church through your eyes and through your ears. You experienced it through their eyes and their ears, and you're thinking, okay, you guys, don't mess this up. You hope everything looks good. You hope everything's clean. You hope the screens work. You don't know who's preaching, but you hope it's good. You hope it doesn't go too long. You hope the music's not too long, but not too short, but just right, you know, because suddenly it's their first time. And the interesting thing was, even though they weren't really church people either necessarily, they didn't hate it. They didn't hate it, you know? And then you kept coming. And you kept hearing us talk about Starting Point. And you did have some questions about faith and the Bible that we weren't answering. And maybe you did Starting Point and you got some questions answered. And then your kids started really loving it and they got involved. And then perhaps you or your wife or the person that you came with, you know, decided, you know, you kept watching those baptism stories and you thought, you know what, I think I have a story to tell. And I was christened as a baby, or I was baptized as a child, or all my buddies got baptized in the eighth grade, so I got baptized with them. But I didn't really understand what that meant. And maybe you even did the unthinkable. You did a video and were baptized. And then you went to Group Link, and it was like Rush, and you hated it, but you found your people, you know, and now you're in a small group. And it may have taken weeks for all that to happen. It may have taken months for all that to happen. For some of you, it took years for that to happen. But now you are a regular attendee. You're in. You're one of us. You're an insider. Now, for some of you, that wasn't your experience at all. On the contrary, you came in all in. The first time you walked into our building, the very first time, you were already a Bible-toting, scripture-quoting, Jordan River-floating Christian, all right? I mean, you knew the deal. You knew that's right. You even knew you could talk during church. And, you know, when the preacher preaches, you go, And all the new Christians are like, what's with the cow noise? But you know how to do this, you know? Because, you know it. You love Hillsong, yes you do. Jesus Calling and Tomlin too, right? You mean you got the whole thing worked out. You grew up watching my dad on TV. You know, your parents grew up watching my dad on TV. Your grandparents grew up watching my dad on TV, you know? You know that October is Pastor Appreciation Month, you know? Hashtag coolest church ever. Hashtag, you know, ILMC, I love my church. I mean, you walked in, you knew the deal. In fact, some of you actually moved to this area so you could go to this church. Yeah, I hear it all the time. We chose our house to be close to the church. So your experience wasn't, you know, 2 feet on the brakes, I'm not sure I'm going to like it. You didn't have to be convinced. You were convinced before you got here, but you've been here now for some weeks or some months or some years, and you too are a regular attendee. So today, for just a few minutes, I want to talk to all the regular attendees, because I need you to help me and I need you to help us. And really, you need to help yourself, because I want you to help us prepare for someone a lot like you who hasn't found their chair yet and whose kids haven't found their chairs yet, because they're not here yet. But they're coming, and they're coming to your church. And this is what's so interesting. Right now, somewhere in our communities, there's a husband begging his wife. She goes, no, it's time change. We can't go today. There's a wife that's praying like crazy. God, please, bring some people around my husband so he'll be willing to go to church with me. There's some parents who every Sunday, just about, the kids beg them to come to church because the kids went with their friends to church and they got so enamored with their church that their parents finally had to tell them, you can't go anymore, because next thing you know, we're going to be going to that crazy church. And there are kids, there are kids who are praying that their parents will bring them to your church. So they're coming. There's some parents bribing their kids, please try their high school group, please try their middle school group, please try their middle school group. $10, will that do it? $15? $20 and an iPhone? What does it take for me to get you to try that youth group? Because there are some parents who are desperate for their middle school kids and their high school kids to plug into an environment where they will hear something that will further their lives and make their lives better. Now, I've been doing this a long time, and some of you, that's your story. For some of you, it's not your story. For some of you, this is your first Sunday. But I'm telling you, right now, in the communities where our churches are, there are people who are wanting their people, members of their family, to come to our church. And eventually, they're going to win the argument, and eventually they're going to show up. And for some of them, they're going to give us one shot, just one shot. For some of you, you are going to give us one shot. And it just happened to be that Sunday where everything went perfect, and you thought, okay, I'll come back, and I'll give it another shot. Now, here's the thing. We don't know exactly who those people are, but we didn't know who you were either. We don't know who's going to fill these seats, but here's what we do know. We do know when they're coming. And let me tell you when they're coming. For several of our campuses that are about to start new services, they're going to come in a couple of weeks. But for all of us at all of our churches, especially at North Point and especially at Brownsbridge, the season of the year that they show up is August. And August seems like it's a long ways away from us. But for those of us who work here and those of us who serve here, for those of us on staff and for those of us that volunteer, August is just around the corner. So for the next few minutes, I want to use all of my persuasion skills and all of my communication skills to ask you and to plead with you to do one simple thing. Would you please provide for others what others have provided for you? That's all I need you to do, I want you to do. And I think more importantly, honestly, and maybe there's a little more leverage at this point, I want you to provide for the next generation what the previous generation perhaps failed to provide you and provide for you. And here's what I mean by that. How many times, if you've got kids or if you've got middle schoolers or high school students or you got a younger brother who's a part of our church, how many times perhaps have you thought, if I had grown up in a church like this, if I had grown up where they gave such attention to detail, if I'd grown up where they had middle school environments that were so captivating, my middle schooler wants to go to church. If I'd grown up in a church where I didn't drop out at 11 and 12 years old, but instead I stay engaged all the way through 18 years old, you think about how different your life might have been. And now you have the opportunity, and we have the opportunity, to do for the next generation what the previous generation perhaps, not on purpose, not intentionally, but perhaps failed to do for you. And I want you to help me do that. And I want you to help us do that. And I want you to be a part of that. And the way you do that is three things. And they're all so simple. I mean, they are all so simple. Even if this is your first time, you're invited to be a part of this. If you've been here for a long time and you kind of got the routine, you sit in the same chair almost every Sunday. And in fact, when somebody's in your chair, you have a little bit of a bad attitude, but it kind of reminds you of your grandmama, because she didn't just have a bad attitude. She told them to move, okay? So you're not quite to asking people to move, but you got your parking spot and your routine and your row, and you save the seats, and then your family goes and eats lunch at the same place every Sunday, and it's all worked out, and then you go play tennis or golf or, you know, watch whatever. So you got the whole thing worked out. But in order for us to do for the next generation what perhaps the previous generation failed to do for us, I need you to bust up your routine a little bit and do three very simple things. So I'll give them to you real quick. Number one, I need for you to create and commit to a plan to support your local church financially. I need you to create your own plan and commit to a plan, and it needs to be a plan. And by a plan, I mean you just come up with a way to regularly support your church financially. Now, here's why this is so important, and you already know this. Do you know why, and I hope you never lose sight of how spectacular this is. Do you know why we're able to collect $500,000 in 2 weeks and just give it away? Do you know why we're able to collect $4 and $5 million every fall and just give it away to community charities all over our city? The reason we're able to do that, the reason we don't have to keep a percentage of it and, you know, there's overhead, the reason we can give it all away is because about 30% of us that are part of our churches, about 30% of us have a plan for supporting our church financially. If everybody had a plan, which everybody should have a plan for how to support your church financially. If everybody had a plan, if all of you had a plan, you have no idea the good that we could do in the world. But you need a plan. You need to pick a percentage. And it's so simple. You can go to the website of the church you're sitting in right now. Go to the website, set up a plan. We'll take the money out every week. We'll take it out every month. We'll do it for you if you can't do it. I actually love writing checks and giving. Our family, for the most part, however, gives online. So there's lots of ways. In fact, here's the coolest thing. Your church, your local church, Brownsbridge Church, North Point Church, Watermark Church, you have it. There's an app for your church you can download. And you can put your information in one time, and get this, when the offering bucket's going by and you're like, good grief, how do they do anything around here? You can actually give online in the moment, in the service with the app. So we've made it as simple as possible. And here's what I know about you. You're not greedy. You know, you're not selfish. I know that about you. You just, for most of you, you just don't have a plan. So that you Sunday, oh, what are we going to do? And you write a last minute check. I want you to pick a percentage. And I've told you this before, but I don't mind telling you. This is easy for me. Because I was raised in a church where every time I got a dollar, I put a dime in an envelope and gave it at my Southern Baptist church. And I so am so grateful my church taught me to tithe. So when I had no money, when I had a little money, now I have a lot of money, it's very easy for me to give 10% plus to my local church. I love to do that. And I don't get very upset with the fact that I'm part of the 30% and I'm paying most of y'all's way, but I'm not bitter. So it's not that big a deal, okay? It's not that big a deal. Just had to get that out. So all I'm saying is this. If you don't have a plan, you don't have to give 10%. That may be a giant, that's too big of a step if you're not. But come on, you're smart people and you love this church. I need you to come up with a plan and commit to the plan. It's that simple. So that's the first thing, okay? That's the easy, they're all three easy. The second one is fun, okay? This is a game changer. This is a habit that I hope we can all develop. The second one is this. I want you to begin to listen for the three little knots. The three little knots are cues that as you hear the three little knots, these are cues for you to invite that person to church the following Sunday, okay? Now, let me tell you how this works. Months and months ago in a staff meeting, we were talking about this. So I wrote down these three little knots. We talked about it in staff. I went home to Sandra. I said, we should do this because here's the bad habit we got in. When we would meet somebody that wasn't in church or was going through a hard time, instead of immediately inviting them to church, we kind of went through all these mental gymnastics and missed the opportunities. It would be like, okay, well, who's preaching this Sunday? And are we in the middle of a series? I wonder what we're talking about. And by the time we kind of, you know, tried to analyze, is this the perfect Sunday for them to come to church? We missed the opportunities. So we decided we're not going to do that anymore. Anytime we hear one of these knots, we just invite the people to church. I'm going to tell you a story in a minute. So here are the three little knots. Okay, here they are. Three little knots, real simple. Not in church, not going well, not prepared for. When you hear talk to somebody and they're not in church, when you hear somebody say, you know, job thing, or my husband and I are struggling, or my son, I'll pray for my, I'm just so worried about my son, he's not doing well in school, or my daughter's disappeared again, or, you know, things aren't going well, things are not going well. Or when you hear somebody talk about, wow, we just had our first child, we just moved into a new house, we're new to the city, my kids just changed schools, you know, my husband just took a new job, it's just kind of, we're overwhelmed, I'm not sure that we're prepared for, we're not prepared for, immediately, you just say, really? Well, you should come to my church Sunday. You should come to my church on Sunday. In fact, we're all going to practice this. Everybody in the balcony at North Point in the West Auditorium, okay? Nobody, we're going to practice this. Ready? When I count to three, we're all going to read the sentence together with emphasis on really. Okay, ready? Ready? Okay, one, two, three. Really? Well, you should come to my church this Sunday. One more time. Really? Well, you should come to my church this Sunday. Doesn't matter who's preaching. Doesn't matter what the series is. Here's what we've discovered. God works in strange and mysterious ways. I truly get this as a preacher. There's innumerable, I can't even begin to tell you how many times people have come up to me and said, Andy, I got to tell you that sermon that you preached, and they'll start talking about something I have never preached on in my life. But you know what? They showed up and God spoke to them, or they'll talk about something that was kind of a side comment. They'll be in tears and I'm like, I didn't even mean to say that. In fact, they told me not to say that second service. And that's the thing that God used to get your attention. So we never know what God's going to use. So instead of trying to psychoanalyze people, when you hear one of the three knots, well, we're not really in church. We just moved here. We haven't found a church. Well, you know, things aren't really going well. Wow, we're overwhelmed. You just say, wow, well, you should come to my church this Sunday. So Sandra and I decided we were going to do this. And this is a little awkward for me. It's as the pastor, you know, to invite somebody to church is like, hey, you should come to my church and hear me talk. You know, it's just kind of awkward. So I would talk myself out of inviting people to church, which is crazy. So we decided we're just going to do this. So one of my favorite stories, Sandra's down towards Sandy Springs. She's at a shopping center. She's at a department store, rather. She's in line, and there's a lady in front of her, and the lady in front of her is talking to the cashier, and the cashier is talking to this lady about her boyfriend, and she's just going on and on about how her boyfriend's mistreating her. Her boyfriend said this, and he said that. So Sandra, you know, you can't help it over here. So Sandra's kind of listening, and now the lady's talking to both of them. So the lady she was working with or checking out walks off. So Sandra's like, okay, here we go. So she just walked up and says, listen, I couldn't help but over here. You need to break up with your boyfriend and you need to go to Buckhead Church this Sunday. And do you know what the lady said? She said, you evil Christian. How dare you invite me to your blankety blank? No. say that. Nobody's going to say that to you. Do you know what she said? She said, I've heard of that church. In fact, I have a friend that goes to the church. Sandra said, well, you need to go. You need to break up with your boyfriend and you need to go this Sunday. Now, let me tell you how powerful this is. See, don't tell anybody this, but we've got them all surrounded. So I'm in Roswell, okay, talking to this guy at Starbucks. He's doing my coffee, you know, and he is explaining that, you know, he's lost his job and da-da-da, things aren't going well. I said, well, you should come to my church this Sunday. He said, well, we live over in Cobb County and we're moving all the way over to Gwinnett because my girlfriend just got a teaching job. I said, it's perfect. We have a church in Gwinnett. It's called Gwinnett Church. Met a guy the other day. Yeah, I live way out past Woodstock. It's perfect. We have a church called Watermark Church in Woodstock. I'm telling you, we have them surrounded. We have churches everywhere. So no matter where you are, and no matter what you're doing, and no matter what they say, when you hear one of the three knots is, well, I'm not in church, or things are not going well, or, you know, I wasn't really prepared for it, or we're not prepared for it. We say, that's, oh, wow, you should come to my church this Sunday. Now, on your way out, we're going to give you this cool key tag, all right? Looks like this. It's got the name of your church on one side with the website in case you know, people don't know how to get there. You say, you can go to this website, and if you're under 20, you can read it like this, and if you're 40, you can read it like this, okay? Or find your reading glasses. They're everywhere. You know that, okay? Then on the other side, it's cool. On the other side, we have the three knots. So, you know, you're talking to somebody. It's like, I think that's one of the three knots. Hey, you should come to my church this Sunday. Now, I know it's kind of silly, but I'm telling you, we've been doing this. Listen, can you imagine if all of us just kind of got over it and did for others what somebody did for you? The reason you're here is because probably 90% of you are here because somebody invited you. And you're not mad at those people. You don't drive to church every Sunday going, oh, I can't believe they invited me to church. I mean, you're so grateful. I'm so grateful. We're so grateful. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to come up with a plan to support your local church financially. I mean, who wouldn't want to do that? And I need you to take the three knots, and when you hear one of the three knots, it just comes out of your mouth. Don't try to figure it out. They don't have to sit with you. You don't have to meet them somewhere unless you just want to do that. But let's just say, because here's what happens. It takes about a half a dozen or more invitations for somebody to go to a church they've never been to before. And when a person hears from four or five or six or seven different people about the same church, eventually, when they think about a church, that's the church they're going to attend. I've heard so many times. I say, how did you start coming to North Point? How did you start coming to Buckhead Church? How did you start coming to Brownsbridge Church? Well, I kept hearing about the church. A friend of mine came to town, wanted to go to church, the only church I could think of, and I came and I liked it, and here I am. So you have no idea how God will use that simple invitation. Doesn't matter. Just invite them and let God work. Okay, here's the third thing. There's three things. Now, let me sort of set this one up. I have to manipulate you a little bit for this third one, okay? This third one is going to take an hour, okay? But let me put it in context for you. Imagine that I called you. I mean, when I call people, it's like the principal. It's like, what did I do? Is it my son? Is it my daughter? You know, are you at the hospital? It's like, no, I'm just checking in, okay? So let's imagine that I called you, and after you got over being freaked out, I said, hey, listen, would you do me a favor? I would like to talk to you and your husband, or you and your wife, or you and your boyfriend or girl. I would like to talk to you for about an hour, and I'll make it easy for you. Next Sunday, or in the next few Sundays, when you're already at church during one of the services, I'd like to talk to you for an hour. I bet most of you would say, all right, whatever. And if you don't want to talk to me, just pick your favorite staff member. Clint calls you, says, hey, I just need to talk to you for about an hour. Of course you do that for Clint. You do that for Billy. You do that for Clay. You know, pick your favorite worship leader. It doesn't matter. Just, you know, imagine that somebody on the staff that you appreciated said, I just need an hour of your time and I'll make it easy. I'm going to do it on a Sunday. So just for the time being, imagine it's me. And the reason you should say yes to me is this. And this is the guilt trip part. I'm just giving you, you know, warning. Every Saturday night, 35 Saturday nights a year, I stay at home and study so I'll be prepared for you. So when you're out playing around and watching movies and eating and drinking and staying out late on Saturday night, I'm slaving over a hot Bible trying to get ready for you guys on Sunday, okay? So if I wanted an hour of your time, wouldn't you give me an hour of your time? I think you would. Okay, so since I'm not going to get to spend an hour with each and every family in all of our churches, here's how I would like for you to spend the hour. I want you to attend a family ministry orientation on a Sunday when you're already at church. This is huge. This is necessary. This is strategic. Now, when you came in your bulletin, there was a card, and I know you hate it when we have you look at cards, but if you would, even the men, uncross your arms for a second and get your bulletin. And I want you to look at this card with me real quick. And here's what we want you to do. The orientation is a sales pitch, okay? But everybody that buys our product loves it. All these happy people with t-shirts all over our churches, they love it. So we want to sell you something. We want to talk you into or convince you to give us about a year of time on Sunday morning, for about an hour on Sunday morning, to serve in one of our family ministry environments. And here's the deal, okay? It's like a timeshare thing, okay? We want you to come to the orientation, even if you've already made up your mind that you're not going to serve. And here's why, okay? Number one, I'm asking you to, if I can leverage that a little bit. It's just going to be an hour. And secondly, because worst case scenario, you're going to learn something really important about the church that you already love. You'll be a better salesperson and a better representative of the church because you're going to learn something extraordinary about the church. But our hope is that when you come to the orientation, thousands of you from all of our churches say, you know what? I can do that. I can sign up. I can do that at the 9 o'clock hour. I can do that at the 11 o'clock hour. I can do that during the 5 o'clock or the 6 o'clock service. I can be a part of this. On the card, you can see there are four categories. And here's what I'm asking. If you are not currently serving in family ministry, if you are not currently serving on the weekend on one of our production teams, and if you're not currently serving on one of our guest services teams, I want you to come to an orientation. Even if it's the furthest thing from your mind, if you've already made up your mind, please, we want everybody to attend an orientation. All you have to do is fill out a card, pick the time. They're all Sundays. They're all Sunday slots. In fact, just so you know how important this is, I would much rather that you attend a family ministry orientation than come to the service and hear me preach. Much rather. In fact, I'll do you a deal. If you'll come to the family ministry orientation, you get 2 Sundays off from church, okay? How's that? You come to the orientation, it's that important. We want thousands and thousands of you to come to the family ministry orientation to learn more about family ministry, but to allow us to give us the opportunity to say, would you be willing in this very strategic way to do for some other families and some other kids what some other parents and some other adults and some other high school students have done for you, okay? And we need this if we're going to be prepared in August. This isn't hurry up, throw you in, here's a quarterly good luck and some Bible verses. This is something we want to collect information, we want to be strategic, we want to be ready in August, because in August, thousands of families come for the first time to all of our churches. Now, here's last thing, then I'm done, okay? We can get by with only 30% of you giving, and we can get by with about 35% of you serving. We can. In fact, if the rest of you, if the other 70% of you want to take a free ride, remember that? Yeah, free ride. Okay, if you want to go ahead and just keep taking a free ride, here's the deal. We can do that. But here's the problem. If that had been the attitude of the original people that started North Point Community Church, that, hey, we got what we need, we know where to park, we know where to drive, you know, we got enough money, let's just keep it on. If that had been our attitude years ago, there wouldn't be a Brownsbridge church, and there wouldn't be a Buckhead church, and there wouldn't be a Decatur City church, and there wouldn't be a Gwinnett church, and there wouldn't be a Watermark church, and there wouldn't be an Athens church, and there wouldn't be a Southside church, and there wouldn't be a Southside church Noonan, and there wouldn't be a Wiregrass church, and we could go on and on and on and on. Because of the vision of this church and the generosity of this church and the engagement of its church, of our church members and participants, we have been able to create churches all over the city and all over the country. And we have got to continue doing that. And I know this. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad the previous generation didn't decide to just sort of let somebody else worry about it? Of course you are. Or you wouldn't be here. I know you're grateful. I just want you to be a part of providing for others what others have provided for you. And more importantly, I think, I want you to be a part of providing for the next generation. That's why family ministry is so important to what we do. I want you to be a part of providing for the next generation what the previous generation perhaps failed to provide for you. And please understand this, and I feel weird saying these kinds of things, but we're family today. This really is not about me. I'm fine. You've made me famous. I'm pastor of one of the biggest churches in the country. I got it going on. You know, I'm fine. It's not about me. It really isn't. And you know what else? It's not about you, because you're fine too, aren't you? You got room, got your wife or your kids or whatever. It's all good. We're good. We know where to park. It's not about me and it's not about you. This is about the person that will one day sit in this seat that doesn't even know we have a seat for them. This is all about the person. I'm glad somebody's kind of getting us like, does this mean I have to come to family ministry orientation if I'm clapping? Absolutely does. This is about the person. I'm telling you, we've heard the stories. You are the story. This is about the man and woman. This is about the teenager. This is about the single mom, the college student, the senior that thinks, oh, that's the rock and roll church. I can't go there. This is all about the person who's never stepped onto one of our campuses. And when they do, something significant is going to happen in their life. Perhaps something significant is going to happen in their lives of their children. And perhaps this generation will be the generation that doesn't leave church and have to come back to church. But this is the generation where they stick to church because of the kind of churches you have helped us create. Now, who wouldn't want to do this? So, today as you leave, I want you to turn in a filled-in card. We're going to contact you. If we contact you and you say, oh, I can't do the 6 on this date, but I can do the 5 at a different date, that's fine. We're going to contact you. And on your way out, as you leave, you're going to give us a card and we're going to give you the little key tag. But because we're such a generous church and we're trying to be like Jesus, even if you don't give us a card, we're going to give you a key tag. But we would rather do an exchange. But either way, everybody gets a key tag because this is cool and this is going to help you remember what the 3 knots are. Now, I know if you've been attending Watermark Church or Brownsbridge or you've been attending North Point or any of our churches for more than, 6 or 7 weeks, you get this. This isn't like an unusual or, an extraordinary ask. But it's an extraordinary strategic ask as we prepare for the fall. And again, you think, the fall? We haven't even really gotten to spring. That's how far ahead we plan. You are a part of an extraordinarily organized group of people who are extraordinarily committed to our vision of creating churches unchurched people love to attend. And it rises and falls on the people who are willing to give a little bit of their time to something extraordinary. So I want you to come up with a plan to support your local church financially. For those of you who haven't done that yet, I know you want to do that. I want you to listen out for the 3 knots, but I need an hour of your time at an orientation on a Sunday. We've made it as easy as possible for you to learn more about family ministry and for some of you to decide, you know what? I can do that. That's not too much to ask. I'm in. And if you do that, we will continue to impact our city. We will continue to impact the global church who pays so much attention to what we do. But at the end of the day, we will continue to impact the next generation who will view church differently. And hopefully, as I said, be that generation that doesn't leave and come back, but never leaves. Because who in the world would want to walk out of, step out of, or leave a group of people who want another so well? So help us do for that next generation and help us do for a group of people who aren't here yet what somebody did for you. Okay? Got it? Any questions? Nope. Questions at North Point? Nope. Let me pray for you. We'll get you out of here. Hey, and next week, don't miss next week, Clay is beginning a brand new series next week. We're all going to get to hear from Clay for the next few weeks. It's going to be powerful, so you're not going to want to miss that. It's the perfect time to invite somebody. But remember, it's always the perfect time to invite somebody to attend your church next Sunday. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for the men and women who had the vision, the generosity, the forethought to just help us create the kinds of churches we have. And Lord, we know we're not perfect. Oh, we know we're not perfect because we're here. We know we're not perfect. But Heavenly Father, help us to continue to do what you've called us to do and to do it well and to do it in such a way that our whole city is impacted, our communities are impacted, that our high schools and our middle schools are impacted. Thank you for these incredible people here today, Father, those that have shown up and those that serve and those that are involved and engaged. And I pray that everybody listening would do what they feel prompted to do as a result of what we talked about today. And we will go ahead and give you the credit ahead of time. In Jesus' name, amen.